Yeah.
What's wrong with him? He's Peter Pan. Right. What was wrong with Peter Pan?
He never grows up.
He never grows up, right? Mm. Okay, so you know what we're going to talk about today?
Growing up.
Growing up, yes. So let's just ask the Lord's help, eh? Lord, thank you for your love for us, and I pray you'll bless your word to our hearts. Help us, Lord, not simply to understand it with our minds, but to know how to live it out too. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. So, it's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16, just that little passage, and we'll read it firstly. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So it's about growing up, amongst other things. But he begins by this. We've seen in chapter 4, the beginning about it, he tells us that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's all about one. But then he goes on to say, but to each one of us, that's our family, group of people, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So, grace has been given to each one. That means there's something there for all of us, isn't there?
Yeah.
God has given gifts to each individual, and he says, as Christ apportioned it. That means that he's got grace to give. Grace is undeserved favour.
Yeah.
We don't deserve it. But God in his goodness has blessed us with these gifts. But the thing I think is really interesting is Jesus gets to choose who gets what. Jesus is in charge of how it's all given out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, and he'll do it in the best and the wisest way. So it just strikes me as a really important thought, this one, is you needn't be jealous of somebody else if they've got a different gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Jesus' choice. He's made you what he wants you to be. Enjoy that and serve him with what he's given you. Right? We're not in competition. It's working together. All the different gifts are there to make the whole thing work. And that's what it's about. So Jesus gets the choice of how things are given out. And he'll do it the wisest way, of course. So Paul then quotes this. This is why it says. What says? The Bible says. He's going to quote the Bible from the Old Testament. He's going to use this verse to confirm what he's just said about Jesus giving out the gifts, of course. Psalm 68 is what he's going to quote, but he's quoting it from a Greek translation that was around in their day, it says, the Bible speaks. That's what he's really saying, isn't it? That's why it says.
Yeah.
It doesn't keep quiet. The Bible speaks, if you let it, that is. So the phrase tells us the Bible speaks to us. When did it last speak to you?
Last time we read it.
Last time you read it, hopefully, yeah. So he's good. I'll tell you what he says now. This is what it says. When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. That's the verse he's quoting from Psalm 68. So he quotes the Old Testament, the Bible, and he understands this verse as referring to Jesus the Messiah. In the Psalm it talks about someone coming up to won a battle and go up and sits down on his throne, basically.
Mm.
Yeah, and Paul reads it and says, ah, that's about Jesus. So when he ascended on high, not just up to the throne in Jerusalem, but to the throne in heaven, of course. So he understands it as referring to Jesus the Messiah. So when did Jesus ascend? At his ascension. You got it. That's good, yeah. After his resurrection from the dead, it's a bit like I haven't read this anywhere, but my wife and I agree on this one, which is good, isn't it? It's a bit like a Roman victory parade. When a Roman general won fantastic battles and things like that, came back to Rome, he had this fantastic victory parade. You know, there are flowers and things all around and gifts given out. And at the back of the queue were the captives. They were going to get executed. It was a sort of triumphal march, it's called. Well, that's a bit like what's going on here. It says, he led captives in his train and he gave gifts to men. So, what did Jesus take with him as captives? Well, he didn't take them to heaven. He defeated them in that sense. It was his victory over sin, wasn't it? Over death and over Satan himself. Ultimately, Satan's going to get carted off to hell, but that's still to come. But Jesus has won the victory. You got it?
Yeah.
Good. Right, so he ascended on high, he led captives in his train, and gave gifts to men. So, what did he give to men? Well, women included, of course. What's the gifts that he gave? His spirit, and he's going to mention about various people who were gifted to his part of his work as well. But we've got the working of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Tremendous promise that the Lord made for us. So, Paul's going to use a bit of logic. How's your brains today? The marbles are working, are they? Right. What does he ascended mean, except also that he descended to the lower earthly regions? So he's thinking that if he's ascended, he must have come down first.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
You've got that logic, you see?
Yes.
Right. So if he, the Lord, ascended, he must have come down first to the lower earthly regions, which is our land, our planet, where we are. He came from heaven to earth. We sang that song.
Yes.
From heaven you came, help us babe. Yeah. So he came to our earth to be among us, in order to live a perfect life, in order to die for our sins as the perfect Saviour, and rise again to go back with his victory. So he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So this same Lord Jesus has returned to his throne in glory in heaven. And he's beyond the creation. He says, he's higher than all the heavens. How many heavens are there? Do you know?
Three.
What are the three then?
That's it.
Paul says he ascended to the third heavens. He was caught up in a vision to the third heavens. That's where they get the three from.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, it's in Corinthians. Yeah? The three heavens we can speak about is our atmosphere, heaven number one. Right? Space, heaven number two. Heaven above all of that is where God is.
Right,
number three. That's the idea anyway. Okay? So Jesus is above all this creation. And it's a pretty big creation, you know. They've got telescopes that look for miles and miles, and it's massive. But he's above all of that. Jesus is ruling over all the creation.
It's not a physical place, is it?
Heaven's a physical... It's got to be... The third heaven's got to be... It's got to be a physical place, because Jesus is physically there. But where it is and how it is, I do not know. I mean, his body was physical, and yet he could come in and out of rooms and travel distances. You know, it's different. I've heard some using the different dimensions. You know, we have four dimensions, don't we? Space and time. That's the four dimensions.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got height, length and breadth, that's space, that's three. Mm-hmm. And then time is another dimension. But there must be more to it.
Yeah.
Yes, and he's in the others. Yeah. Well, that's for you physicists, that one. Yeah, okay. So, but Jesus is above all of it, but the thing is that by his Spirit, he can be everywhere at once with his power. That's quite amazing, isn't it? But that's God for you. He's good, you know. He's amazing. Jesus is King overall. That's what he's getting at, right? And it was he, this Lord Jesus, ruler over all, who gave some to be, and he's going to talk about the various gifts that he's done. So Jesus, working through the Holy Spirit, gets to choose how his grace is given out, which I've said already. Now he is the one who decides what you're going to get when you ask him for it, of course. That's interesting, isn't it, you think about it. God gives gifts, but he wants you to ask.
I'm thinking that, yeah, we have to ask for it, but he's already done it, hasn't he?
Well, Paul says in Corinthians about the Spirit's gifts, seek the greater gifts. So it means ask for it. Yeah, I've got to ask here. But anyway, Paul's going to give examples of some of the gifts that God's given in different ways to different people. But the lovely thing is, they're his gifts. They loved it. Yes. To you and to me. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
So, let's see what some of these are. He's just giving us a sample of it in a sense. It was he who gave some to be apostles. So the Lord in his wisdom chose some to be apostles. Yeah, that's the first role that he's talking about various people in the church who were given to bless and help the church. That's what the apostles were given for. So the first were the 12 apostles. Right? Judas failed and so another one was brought in. There's 12 apostles. Yeah, that's what the Lord gave. Why did he get the apostles? In order to teach them so that they could tell us what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Yes? Jesus didn't do any writing. I'm sure he could write, but he didn't do any writing. He gave it over to the disciples, the apostles, to do it. That's marvellous, isn't it, really, how the Lord works? I think this is wonderful. It's something I need to learn. God can do everything, but he dishes out the work for us to work and be involved with, to share with him. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. So he gives the direction by conveying that that's what the apostles do. They pass on the teaching. Yeah. And the name of an apostle means a sent out one, someone who's been sent. Yeah? Okay? It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets. Yeah? Now, the prophets were around in the New Testament time, and they had different parts to play, of course. They were good at teaching, and sometimes they even spoke about the future. You know, God gave them a word of revelation about the future. So the prophets were part of the gift of the Lord to the church as it was beginning to form and get going. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists. Mm-hmm. Now, what's an evangelist? We're all told to be evangelists, aren't we, in one sense, to share the good news, but some people are especially gifted in communicating the gospel in an effective and powerful way. We call them missionaries in a way, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
Of course. So some have really got the gift, haven't they? Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember years ago, my old minister, we went to hear a famous, well-known speaker, Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones it was, and at the end of the service, my pastor says, "I could have said that." Yeah, it wasn't anything new, but when he said it, it worked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the same with this guy called Billy Graham.
Yeah.
In a sense, you know what he's going to say. I mean, he says it in a lovely way. But when he says it, people respond.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. So, that's a gift of an evangelist. Somehow they bring people to a place where they're willing to commit their lives to Jesus and they're born again. Right? Some have described an evangelist as spiritual midwives. Yeah? They get them born, don't they?
Yeah.
Right? So that's the first part of the process, spiritual midwives. Yeah? Right. So it was some, now this is the next bit. It was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Now then, you may have heard of the Apostolic Church, which has the fivefold ministry, no?
Yeah.
Yeah? The fivefold is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Right? But the pastors and teachers are lumped together in this passage. He doesn't say he gave some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. He puts the pastors and teachers as one group. Yeah? Although there are different giftings in that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah? Some are more pastoral, some are more teachy. I'm a teachy sort, aren't I, really? And that, in a sense, is one of my challenges, in a way. How do we care for brothers and sisters as a pastor? What, am I a shepherd?
Yes.
Supposed to be.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel one of my failings is not enabling people to use the gifts they've got. How do I encourage people to use what they've got? Right? So, but the roles of pastor and teacher are connected because, you know, you need to know what to do before you can do it. Yeah, so the teacher gives practical care and teaching. Just like children, we all need care and instruction, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah? None of us are too old not to learn something else, I suppose.
Yeah.
Right? Is that the idea? We're all in the learning game, really. So he gave pastors and teachers to his church. Right. And then, why did he do all of that? Why has Jesus given these different individuals their roles to play in the church? He says, to prepare God's people for works of service. And the word for prepare there is translated from the word meaning to fix nets. To catch the net, to make the nets work, or to repair something, yeah? So he's making us work properly in that sense. And it's to prepare God's people for works of service. So let me apply this lesson. Is it that the pastors and the teachers and the apostles are to do all the stuff?
No.
No. They are to get you to do all the stuff. That's right.
Yeah.
That's the aim, is to help us all to function as God wants us. So it explains the reason for naming these groups first. They are there to help us to grow in order to be useful in God's kingdom. And God wants us to be a blessing to people around about us. And he calls it works of service. What does he count as works of service? Whatever you do for the Lord Jesus is a work of service. Whether somebody sees it or not. He sees. Yeah, remember that bit when he says a cup of cold water given in my name to one of his people? Well, Jesus notices, even if nobody else does. So it's doing things to serve God and to help others. So we're to be prepared for works of service. And the reason is so that the body of Christ may be built up. So, are we into bodybuilding? Yeah? But the body of Jesus is his family, of course. The whole group of believers are called the body of Christ. And we're meant to grow and be strong. Is that right? How do we grow? Personally, but also numerically as well. We're out to share the good news with people so that they can come to know the Lord for themselves as well. But we're to grow in our relationship to the Lord as well. Really important. That's why they give it. Until, what are we aiming at? Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So, what's the mountain peak we're heading for? It's unity in the faith. So we believe the truth and live it out. The truth is in God's word, of course. Yeah. We live in a dangerous age nowadays when people say, it's your truth, but not my truth.
Yeah.
I'm afraid there's no such thing. It's either true or it isn't. Yeah? And if it's true, it's whether you like it or not, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so we want to go towards a unity in the faith, believing the truth and living it, and in the knowledge of the Son of God. That's the best and most important part of it all. What is eternal life? Jesus gave us a quote. This is eternal life, that. St. John's Gospel. What is eternal life? That they may know you, Father, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. To know him, to know the Lord, to know God's Son. So, knowledge of the Son of God is not about in the head, it's a personal relationship with Jesus that we're talking about. That's really what it's about. And that's the thing that we're meant to cultivate. That will cause us to grow as we have a personal relationship with Jesus. And you spend that with brothers and sisters and on your own as well, of course. Yeah. So, we're all aiming to reach the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God. So when will we arrive there? Have we arrived yet? Paul says, not that I've already attained to this, but this I do, forgetting what's behind, I press on to win the prize, to go for the goal. When?
Where now?
When we get to heaven, if Jesus doesn't come first, or when Jesus comes back. That's when we reach this goal of being what we are meant to be. And ultimately, all God's people are going to be united, finally in that perfect way.
Right.
We're working on it, aren't we? We're working on it. Right. And we will become mature. How about that? Are you like a good old cheese, mature? We're mature. Meaning we've grown up a bit, that's the idea. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's astounding phrase, that, you think about it. We're going to become so mature, we're going to be like Jesus. That is really something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds impossible, but God's promised to do that. That's our hope. We have it in 1 John, I've written that quote there. It says, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. You're going to be like Jesus. Is that wonderful?
Yeah.
You can't get better than that. Absolutely wonderful. So, we're growing, becoming mature. It's talking about growing in height, really, but it's maturity in terms of the quality of our relationship with the Lord and our character, of course. So I'm going to ask you, how tall are you? How mature are you now? Well, it's not for me to answer really, is it, you know? We all stand before the Lord, but we want to grow, Lord. Help us to do that. So we're going to become like Jesus, who is wonderful, majestic and glorious. We are going to be shining people.
Wow.
That's quite something, isn't it? Yeah. That's the hope that we have. Nothing can take that away. When God calls us, he calls us not just from where we are, but to where we're going. And that's the glory, of course. So praise his name. That's what we're going to become. Then we will no longer be infants. Now there's nothing wrong with being an infant when you're a child. Is that right? It's all, you're meant to start that way, you know, you start little. Right? There's nothing wrong with being an infant when you're first born. But it's just meant to be a part of our life process, you know. You're supposed to grow and get bigger. We are meant to grow up. So what Paul's just shared about being united to Jesus and what he's promised is the means that God will help us to grow beyond our infancy through the gifts of the people who are there to help us, of course. So we're going to grow. Are we growing?
Yeah.
Well, we're working on it by the grace of God. Then we will no longer be tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. He's saying it's a dangerous world out there. You know that though, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah? And he says that the danger for a child is that, you know, the wind can blow them around more, you know, and they're vulnerable. And as a child, we're vulnerable and we need protection and help. And so that's why he's given us these leaders in order to guide us in his word to help us get the right path. We can be easily influenced in the wrong directions by being unable to discern what teaching to accept and what else to reject.
Yes,
you know, there are lies out there. You need to believe what's true and be able to decide which is not and which is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, do you know what you're meant to believe? Well, there's a challenge. I think a lot of people in the churches these days haven't got much of an idea, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're meant to know what we know so we can stand on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we won't get blown around by all this stuff that's around. And he talks about, furthermore, and the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming.
Wow.
Well, there's another strong reason why we need to become mature in Christ. There are enemies out there trying to destroy your faith and your witness. They do. That's their intention. And behind it all is the enemy, of course, Satan. But he says, their cunning and craftiness. Now, I've got two pictures there. The thief, he wants to steal. And the dice, it's the word for cunning is the use of the word dice, loaded dice. They always win. You won't win with them.
No.
So don't play their game, is another word. So you want to avoid those who are trying to trick you. So we need wisdom, don't we?
Yeah.
We need insight that the Holy Spirit's promised to give us through God's word and his servants in order to protect us against them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll know what they're up to by the grace of God. Yeah? So, we'll grow up, instead of being taken in, instead we'll speaking the truth in love. So this is a correction to the it's an alternative to being infants. Yeah. Truth matters, doesn't it? God's truth is absolute. Now that's, I've mentioned this before, what he said is true and always will be true. And what he declares is wrong will always be wrong. That's the way it is. Truth is absolute. Sorry to say this to our modern world, but, you know, truth is fixed. It's not going to change. But we are also to share this truth, the knowledge that we have of God's ways and his love and his word, and we're to share it in an appropriate way. How? In love. Right? Wanting the best for others. Yes? You don't bash them over the head with something, do you? Well, James says, watch what you say. It's not just what you say, it's how you say it at times, isn't it? Got this lady saying, do you know what it means to speak the truth in love? Not bawling at people, but, you know, somehow winning them by what's true. I hope there's Lord to do that, yeah? Speaking the truth in love to each other as well, of course. Because we need to sometimes say a word to a brother or sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as a result of that, we will, in all things, grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. We're going to grow to be like Jesus. As we speak the truth to our brothers and sisters, we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're reminded that he's the source of our spiritual life, and our goal and our supreme leader. We're going to grow up to be like Jesus. That's where we're aiming for, isn't it?
Yeah.
As we share the truth, we speak the truth to each other in love. That's what he wants to do, wants us to do. Right? From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Going into the physiology now.
Mm-hmm.
Your bones and your bits and pieces, of course. He's using that body image, of course. So he's using the idea of the body to talk about the growth of the church. Each part helping and holding the whole together. You need the bits, don't we? You need each other.
Yeah.
That's what he's getting at. We do need each other. And each part is one way or another linked to the head. You know, we're not dependent on brothers and sisters completely. We're finally dependent on the Lord himself.
Yeah.
But together, we can hold each other up and support each other. That's important. The whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So the body's not meant to be a show, but it's meant for active service.
Yeah.
No, just yeah, a bunch of lies behind you.
Maybe she's forgotten the key.
She's forgotten the key. She's just sneaked in. Hello, Jane. That's all right.
Hello.
Right. Well, we've just got another bit of the body alive. That's nice, isn't it? Yes. The body's not meant for show, but for active service, playing whatever role we are given to do. There's a work for Jesus, none that you can do. Whatever that is. Yes? It's all God's work in our hands. He wants us to live and to serve him. And all these bits are all connected together. The truth is we do need each other.
Yeah.
And finally, I've got a quote by Billy Graham. He looks a bit younger there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
The highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. The greatest form of praise is the sound of consecrated feet seeking out the lost and the helpless. That's a challenge for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, so keep on growing in the Lord.
Yeah.
Because where are we aiming to be like? Like Jesus. How many have got there yet?
We're
working on it, aren't we? We'll get there by the grace of God. Okay. I'll leave it at that. Let's just pray. Bless you, Lord. You've got plans for us. Lord, you've given us gifts. Lord, help us to know how to use what we are, Lord, and what we have in the service of Jesus, our Saviour, and for the blessing of those around about us. Lord, we're not here just for our own benefit, but to be a blessing to others. Help us, Lord, we pray. Grant us your mercy and grace. Lead and guide us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.